Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to the Can We Help You podcast, your favorite non-professional advice podcast. I'm Jax.
I'm Sash.
I'm Franco.
And you can think of us as the brothers and sister you always wish you had. Never had, but always wanted.
Good one.
What? Yeah. every couple of days we get together, we grab a question from you, and we read it, and we go, hey, can we help you with that? I've been at a podcast conference this week, and it's been kind of weird. I didn't know the podcast conferences existed, but I saw it pop up because it's in LA, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll go to that. And there was like a panel on like, I thought I'm going to go to that because it was a panel that was like, oh, I've started a self-help podcast. Where do I go from here?
Oh, God.
And I went to it, and it was all people with quite legitimate
PhDs
podcasts. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is not us.
Sorry, a panel for helping people who run self-help podcasts is
so meta.
And you would need to be the absolute expert of the world to be authorized to speak there.
It's been a strange week.
Yeah. So what, have you been going every day this week to this conference?
I've been going to the whole thing, and it's been strange to be completely honest. I mean, if anyone's listening who's from the conference or went to the conference, I doubt it, but maybe. I'm sure they would agree with me. It's been kind of strange. It's the first time I've ever been to a podcast conference, and it's been interesting. That's for sure.
What about it? You're being very vague.
Well, it's just, I'm not sure how to feel about it. And there's lots of different panels on lots of different things. How to crowdfund and how to make money, how to get ads, I don't know. It's been interesting.
I've been to a few TikTok creator events before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's very similar. They get everyone who has, like, for example, in the podcast thing, they get everyone who has a big podcast, and they bring them all together, and then they figure out that no one has anything in common with each other.
Yeah.
So they're all there to talk about podcasting, but no one actually really wants to talk to each other.
I don't get it.
And then you've got like the exhibitors, which are all like these like random kind of like AI startups that exist to like assist in podcasting stuff, which is cool. I mean, all the people there, they had some cool products, but then they all have these like random swag things that they like try and like hook you in with, like stickers or like I got a t-shirt, I got a like a duck, I got a beanie. I don't know, from all these random
beanies?
Companies.
I feel like you're not a beanie wearer.
My head's too big for hats, so it doesn't look good on me.
That sounds truly awful. I can't think of anything worse. Do you know what? Conferences do not turn me on at all. Like,
I think it depends on the conference.
What possibly? Okay, aside from like a here is a food conference where you just eat, what? Like, that's my personal, like, that's I'd go to that conference. And like not having to queue for it. Like, I'm not talking, I don't want to line up and have to eat food.
Here's the thing. This conference, it was at downtown LA, at a hotel in downtown LA, which is not the, you know, not the greatest part of town, nice hotel, whatever, but it was kind of random. There was no real snacks or anything. You had to pay for drinks. So I didn't like that. But I've been to a conference in Palm Springs, and it was at a really nice resort. I stayed at the resort, beautiful pool, and they had, it was like everything. They had free drinks every night. They had
That's different
food.
Though. That's sideline shit. I'm talking about the conference itself. If you get paid to go to a resort in Palm Springs and eat and drink for free, I'm there. I'm talking about taking time out of your busy week where you drive to this conference and have to spend time conferencing.
Yeah, but the best part about conferences is you don't have to do actual work. You just, you go and you eat and drink for free and you stay in a beautiful resort.
You network.
And then you meet people and drink with other people and you don't have to do any actual work.
I think that's where what my downfall will be. I really don't like meeting people in that way.
Just generally.
Just generally. I don't mind meeting people at work, obviously.
Yeah.
Like that's different. I don't mind making friends, you know. God, even when friends bring their friends to things and I have to meet other people's friends, I hate it. I'm just not very good at, I'm not very social. I'm not a very social person. And so the idea of having to like, yeah, I'm good at networking if they're in my space. If they're like, for example, when I was studying, we would have guest lecturers all the time and they always worked in the industry. So I would get my ass up afterwards and wait in line like a little nerd and then go up to them and say, hi, my name's Sasha. I'm really interested in getting into radio, blah, 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 blah. That networking I get, but networking where you're just like in a room with all these people, you don't know who they are or what they're doing, and you just have to walk up to them and be like, hey, where are you from? I'm Sasha. I work at Listener. I work on two podcasts at the moment. What do you do? Like, it's so out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, I find it weird because I always think of networking as like, and you know, I've had to come to terms with networking because this industry especially, you have to network and you have to know people. But
I know.
I find it really weird because I feel like it's all so like, I feel like every time you go to speak to someone, you have like a giant sign on your head that's like, I want something from you. I want something from you. And every time someone comes to like talk to you, that you, it's almost like you see a sign in the head saying, I want something from you, or I want to sell you something. And it's like, oh God, I don't know.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel genuine. It just feels like all like a bit of blowing smoke up each other's asses a little bit. But good for you. Sounds like maybe you got something out of it. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, you know.
Did you network? Did you make contacts?
I met some people. Yep. Yep. But see, and here's the thing. I mean, oh God. Look, I don't want to spend too long on this, but what, like, you meet people, right? Like, even at a, even if you're like, you know, LA is the kind of place where lots of creative people are. So even if it's not at a conference, you might meet someone who does something cool in your industry at a bar or a cafe or whatever. But then what?
Yeah, I know. Then you have to follow it up.
And you work together.
You have to send them an email. An email.
Saying what?
Hi, Sandra. It was so lovely to meet you at the podcasting conference. Really enjoyed chatting about AI.
Please keep me in mind if you ever have any jobs available. Like, oh, God.
No, you ask the question. You'd be like, just wondering if there are any opportunities coming up at so-and-so podcasting network. We'd really love to.
Yep. And then they say, oh, it's great to meet you. Unfortunately, we don't have anything at the moment, but I'll keep you in mind for the next time. And then what? Yeah.
Okay, but
that's
I was having a conversation.
That's kind of what my business relies on. Like I can vouch for we'll keep you in mind for next time.
Definitely.
Because a lot of times people, you know, I get emails from people who I haven't talked to in 3 years who kept me in mind for next time. It does
I was
it does
chatting
work.
With my big boss this week and we were talking about some stuff going on at work and needing to fill a couple of spots. And she's like, oh, I've got a list of people who have been getting in touch with me. And, you know, we've basically being like, we've got a bank of people who could help. So do you know what I mean? People do keep you in mind, especially if you're persistent and especially if you make that connection and then a job comes up in 3 months' time. You can submit your application, but then email your contact and say, hey, I've just put in an application. Would love to hear back from you and come in for an interview. So excited about the potential to work with such an amazing brand, whatever. That's how you do it. It's worth following up with an email because then they'll remember, they won't remember you just from chatting at the conference, but they'll remember you if you follow it up with an email.
Can we help you network? Maybe
there
we should run a whole episode on it.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, speaking of, we are here to self-help. So should we get to a question?
Let's get to a question.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Alrighty, I got a question here from Ronnie. Thanks, Ronnie, for your question. They've gotten in touch via the website, canwehelpyoupodcast.com. Ronnie writes, hey guys, we all know that dating culture is screwed up at the moment. And honestly, I do have a few options, but that's kind of the issue. How the hell do I choose one guy over another? If I feel a genuine connection with all of them, how do I pick one over another? I feel like I'm on The Bachelorette. All these guys are asking me on dates, but I feel bad if I choose one over another and have to essentially cut the others off. I'm not actually on The Bachelorette, but I have such a bad rep with myself and mishandling people's feelings regarding this. I don't want to do an open relationship or anything like that. I just want to find someone to settle down with and maybe marry one day. I'm 21 and have never been in a serious relationship, not even in high school. I just think I care too much. Attractiveness, I don't think, comes from looks. I understand that, but I'm at a loss and everyone I ask says wait for the right one. But how will I know and what are the signs to pick one over another? Please help me.
I feel have just answered this with the whole conference chat. You pick
what,
one.
Send them all emails and say.
You email the others and say, we'll keep you in mind for next time.
Keep you in mind for next time.
And you work your way through.
Perfect.
No, Ronnie, I think you're just having some anxiety around dating, and that's totally fine and normal. My suggestion would be, why do you have to pick one if you're in that early phase? Go on dates with all of them. Any that pique your interest genuinely. Don't just go on. If you feel no connection with someone, don't go on a date, just leave it. But if you're talking to, let's say, three dudes and they all have different things that you go, huh, I'd really like to get to know you more, just go on a date. Dates don't – you're dating. You're not exclusive. You have not – he hasn't put a ring on it. You can date as many people at once as you want, and that is the only way that you'll be able to find out if you like them more and you want to form a longer connection. I can almost guarantee that – if you're dating three dudes and you go on a couple of dates with each of them, one will eventually stand out.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think, right?
I completely agree with that, and it makes sense that that's, you know, obviously you need to this might not be right, but try before you buy is the term that came to my head.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But it kind of sounds like maybe Ronnie is at the point where, you know, they've gone on three or four dates with three or four different people and it's still hard to decide. Like, what happens when you kind of get to that point of, oh no, they're all good?
Yeah, I'm not sure this has ever been an issue for me. yeah, like if you have three people on the go at once or four people or however many you've got on the go, Ronnie, and every one of them you're like, well, I kind of like all of you. How do you pick?
This is what the honey badger struggled with.
Oh,
pick
right.
None of
pick
them.
Pick none of them. Pick none of them and go and work for tradie underwear.
To be really frank with Ronnie, it sounds like Ronnie is getting a bit ahead of themselves. I don't think Ronnie's been on multiple dates with these people. I think she's just talking to a few people. Maybe she's been on a date with a couple. But to me, it's the mention of marriage and you're 21. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, Ronnie, you're just getting way ahead of yourself. Just slow down and remember what you're doing. You're just having fun and meeting people. And hopefully one of those people you'll be able to go on to have a relationship with that's lovely and fulfilling and fun and all that great stuff, and you can fall in love. Maybe you'll live happily ever after, maybe you won't. But if you're already kind of putting the pressure on yourself that you're trying to, and you didn't say, I want to find someone to marry, but you brought up marriage in your question, which makes me think you do want to find someone to get married, and that's kind of your filter. Whereas what you're doing at 21, it should just be fun. It should just be meeting people, and yeah, you might kiss a few frogs, and then one day you'll find your Prince Charming. Take the pressure off. Just go out. Just go out, and you might go out on a date with one of them and be like, oh, God, that was boring. Because talking to someone.
Oh, God, they like Joe Rogan.
Talking to someone over text is very different to actually spending time with them in person. You've got time to think and be witty and, like, come up with good jokes and whatever and be charming. But they might have bad breath or they might dress really bad. And, yes, that's shallow, but that's how attraction works. You're going to be attracted to someone based on how they present, as well as their banter and their brain. So I would just take the pressure off. You're 21, you're saying you've never been in a long-term relationship. That's not weird. That's pretty normal, I'd say. I think, you know, yeah, lots of people have relationships in high school, but it is not strange to be 21 and have never had a long-term partner. In fact, I'd say that's probably more like the norm. You might have had a couple of boyfriends last a few months, but, you know, you're not going out for years and years at a time. So, to sum up, go out with all of them, see how you feel, and go from there. If you come away from that and you like all of them, that is probably difficult to navigate. Have you considered polyamory? I don't know. Maybe you can all be, you can buy houses and you can go from.
Converging in one spot one day?
Yeah. Oh, you can have a gangbang. Like, the options are limitless.
Jesus Christ. Honestly, Ronnie, I feel like, count yourself lucky. I feel like dating's hard enough. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been in the dating pool, but like in the modern time, I feel like dating's quite hard. So to have your pick of the litter, so to speak,
I know.
I think that's lucky, really. I know that doesn't really help your question, but you know, I don't know. Just don't put so much pressure on yourself. And I mean, if it comes down to it, and you really have, like, I don't know, two or three that you're like, man, I could see being in long term relationships with all three of them. Well, then, I don't know, maybe...
Get them to fight each other.
fight each other. Yes.
Fight for your affections.
Yes, nice.
But, like, you know, I think if you... I guess that's the thing. If you have three people, you can like... That's the thing. You can like different things about different people, especially if you're, like, not someone who has a type or, like, has a particular, like, oh, they have to be 6 foot or they have to work in banking or whatever. Like, well, I can imagine if you have three on the go and they're all just good dudes, it'd be really hard to pick.
Well, then you just pick either, you know, you're going to have to make a decision. So, I don't know, who's the best in bed or who do you think's going to make the best dad or who do you think's going to be easiest to live with or, I don't know, just pick one. And then send the email to the others. Sorry, but we'll keep you in mind for next time.
Don't block them on Instagram just yet. Just, you know, date this one for a year, see how you go.
See how you go.
But, yeah, I would say, like, you know, I would encourage going on, I mean, unless you go on one date with one and you're like, oh, nah, that one's not right, then, you know, flick them. But if you're, you know, go on a couple with each of them and if you're vibing with all of them, I think within date three you'll be able to sense how serious they're taking it, and then that's potentially when you kind of need to
which
narrow
one gives
down
you the most
field.
Butterflies in the tummy, you know?
Yeah. Which date are you most excited for, the second or third time round?
Or, you know, worst case scenario, just like put all three names in a hat and have someone shuffle them and just pick one out. There you go. Decision made.
Have you guys been on any really good dates? And I'm talking,
oh my
like,
God, I thought you were going to say, have you guys been on dating shows before? Because there's mention of The Bachelorette. But no, I haven't.
No, I haven't been on a dating show. It's been a while since I've dated. Dates.
How fun is dating though? Like,
I'm not sure that I ever really, like, in the sense of dating, you know, like a modern, an older person's, like an adult's idea of dating. I'm not sure that that existed for me.
You never went on a date?
I would have gone on dates, but I just never really, you know, when you're at a certain age, you don't really consider that as dates.
Yeah,
as a date.
So I never went on a date to like a nice restaurant where we sat across from each other and talked about our lives. I think when I was dating, like I was like 18.
I was very
between
I was
like
a
the ages of like
well.
17 and 19.
And, yeah,
I was,
and you like
you
met
know,
people.
You just go.
And you kind of knew people already a little bit, and you just like go and hang out somewhere, or go to the movies, or go to, you might go to the movies and dinner, but it wasn't like, let's go on a date, or it wasn't like, hey, would you like to go on a date with me?
I went on a few dates that were kind of just like, hey, let's meet up in the city and we'll just like walk around. Like there was just a lot of like just walking around.
Well, let's go to the mall, the shopping center.
Let's walk around.
Exactly.
I had a really nice date once with a guy that I met at, so all my dating was obviously pre-Shane, and I met Shane when I was 18, and I didn't go on many dates, if you know what I mean. A lot of my dates were in cars, but this date.
Well, I mean, it's a type of date, I guess, yeah.
That is a date. That counts.
Yeah.
I met when I must have been about 15, and I went with my mum and dad to her colleague's 60th or something. Fucking, like, just. No, actually, that was a different guy. This guy I met in the line at the Black Keys concert. So we sat outside the Enmore Theatre all day because we wanted to be at the front. Not many other people did that. And there were these two guys who sat down next to us, and they were really nice and really friendly. And he was only, I think he might have been like 17 or 18, so he was a couple of years older than me. And we met and we exchanged numbers, and he came and like took me on this cute little ice cream date, and it was so lovely and sweet.
Cute.
It was really
that's
lovely.
Nice.
It was like no pressure. Like we just, I think he drove. So he came and picked me up and we went and got ice cream. But then my friends were nearby. So then we like had this ice cream and then we went and met with my friends, and it was really fun.
I went on a date to a concert once.
Oh, to a concert?
Yeah, it was to a concert.
That's a great date.
It was the John Butler Trio. It was at Festival Hall in Melbourne. Sweatiest place in town.
I love
the
John
Festival
Butler
Hall.
Trio.
And it was the older sister of a guy in my year level, and after the date he pulled me aside and he went, don't you hurt my sister, and I was like, so that was cringe. And then I actually went on a date with my serious high school girlfriend. I don't know if I'd call it a date. I guess it was a date, but it was with her parents, and we went to
wait. You went on a date with a girl and her parents.
Explain to me what a date is and how that can possibly involve her parents.
What do you mean?
Her parents just went on the date with you.
No, okay. So we went to. I'm not sure who. Someone owned a seafood restaurant or something, and you know me. I don't eat a lot of things. Actually, we might have spoken about this on the podcast before. And I especially don't eat seafood. And it was like fancy seafood restaurant, and we were in like a private dining area, and it was like one of the first times I'd like gone out and you know really spent time with her parents. And they ordered all the food, and I was like 17, and I wanted to make a good impression.
And you didn't eat anything.
And they brought out oysters.
Oh no!
And
please tell me you tried to eat one and you gagged and vomited all over.
And they went, go on, just try them. And I went, oh no, I'm okay. And they went, go on, they're really nice, you know, they're great. And I went, oh. Okay, I'll try it. And the second it like hit my mouth, it was just like, oh. And I couldn't, there's nothing I could do. It had to come out again.
Oh no.
And that was really, and it was not just her parents, it was like her parents and like her parents' friends or whatever who owned the place that we were eating at. And it was like,
man,
it was very embarrassing. And then I was like, okay, I'm just not going to eat anything for the rest of the night. And I would just sit quietly and not say
anything. That's mean of them though, because like fancy going to dinner with a 17-year-old boy who's dating your daughter and like pressing them to try an oyster. Like
I feel like that was maybe part of their plan.
Seriously, did you guys go on another date after that?
Well, we were together for a year, so you know, we never went to seafood again.
That was probably a red flag,
I think
then.
I think that's poor form. I think that's poor form on the parents' part. This poor little 17-year-old boy. Can you just imagine little Jack sitting there? No, thank you. And your voice is cracking.
I agree it's poor form. However, when I'm a parent, I feel like that would be just like a great story and very funny. So, you know,
no,
I could see myself doing it.
No, that's so
mean. I kind
of
agree that like, it is very good for like a relationship with your in-laws to kind of have a bit of an embarrassing start.
Yeah, because what did you do? Didn't you? They told a story at your wedding about something that happened. I can't remember it
now. So when Jess and I first started, I guess, like dating, and it was pretty much, yeah, like we'd go to a concert together. We went to clubs a lot because we were like 19 years old. So it was New Year's Eve. We went to a club. I think I've told this before on the podcast, but it was me and her and a bunch of her friends. And I don't quite remember what happened. Maybe I was just new to going out, but I had too much to drink. And it was like 11:30. It wasn't midnight yet. I was sitting on a couch by myself that I'd found because if I was going to stand up, I would probably vomit. And she came over to me. I've got such a bad memory that I don't actually remember if this is before or after midnight. But she came over to me and all of her friends, and she was like, obviously you're not well, let's go. I stood up. I vomited all over the carpet.
Oh, my God.
Great.
And all over myself. We very, very quickly left the club. This is a place that isn't there anymore, but was in Wollongong, and Jess's mum picked us up, and it was always planned that I'd stay over the night, obviously, in a separate bedroom and all of that, because we were very young. And,
19, really?
Yeah, so I met Jess's mum for the first time.
Covered in vomit.
Covered in my own vomit while she drove me back to her house to spend the night. And I was still very drunk. She showed me where the shower was. She gave me spare clothes to change into. God. It was
bless
lovely.
Her.
And we joke about it now.
Oh, well, you know, look, when your kids are dating at that age, I feel like that's part and parcel, right?
It's still mortifying.
Oh, look, I'm sure now it's funny, right, Franco? Surely you find it funny.
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious now. And I'm with Jax. Like, if I had, you know, a 17-year-old daughter who was dating someone, I wouldn't give him a hard time, but I'd try and, you know, get him to have an oyster. That's it.
You're so mean.
Just try an oyster. Come on.
You guys are mean. No.
Oh, God.
Well, Ronnie, see how much fun dating can be? You can be forced to eat oysters.
If you go on a date, don't go to seafood and don't order oysters.
And don't get so
drunk.
Don't
drink too much.
Don't get blackout
right
drunk. Don't go to a club.
Potential in-laws, yeah. But you could have cute ice cream dates. Oh, isn't that nice?
Cute.
Well,
yeah. All right.
All the best, Ronnie. Enjoy your spin on The Bachelorette. Sounds like fun.
Well, that is it. Thank you for listening to the Can We Help You podcast. As always, you can send your questions through at canwehelpyoupodcast on your socials, or canwehelpyoupodcast@gmail.com, or canwehelpyoupodcast.com. So many places. Or I think you can probably click through via, I saw we got tagged on LinkedIn the other day by something.
What?
Great Australian Pods directory tagged us. So if you're if you follow the Great Australian Pods directory, then you can click through that way.
I have never heard of this.
Yeah,
no, I think it's probably one of those. Used to get tagged in them on Instagram sometimes, and they were just like random podcasts. I'm sure they wouldn't listen to us. They probably just trolled through a list of podcasts and went, let's chuck them in.
We might be popular.
We know if we're popular or not because we get the numbers, remember.
Hey, we're pretty popular.
You are.
We're doing all right.
Everyone have a fabulous few days. We'll see you again on the next time.
We'll see you again next time.
Goodbye.
Good and bye.
Until next time.
Are you not going to say bye?
Well, I said it bye-bye. Like, yes, okay. See you next time. Like.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.